Just remain standing, turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14. I appreciate that song. Amen. I'm glad for the truth of it. Got a friend like no other in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, Melissa said her blood pressure is getting a little bit better. And so praise the Lord for that. Amen. And I was thinking the weekend, it's not just that I'm there on the weekend. She's in that ladies' Sunday school class on the weekend too. Now she's got out of it, she's feeling a little better. I don't know what it is. Pray God help us find what it is causing it. And, the Lord meet the need there. Amen. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter number 14, a very familiar text of Scripture and a story that is unique and been preached on a number of times. I want to try to use it in a thought in a different way today than I've ever thought of it this week. Something I read made a reference to this story and a thought came into my mind. I want to try to use that if I can. Verse number 22, Matthew chapter 14. And of course, when I use the word story, I don't mean it as a make-believe fictional story. And it's an actual account. It's a true story. Amen. Amen. And Bible says in verse number 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. By the way, the wind was still howling, but Jesus' word said peace. Amen. The waves were still crashing. They're still in the middle of the sea in a dark, dark night. But Jesus' word said, don't be afraid. Amen. Verse number 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I'm going to stop right there at that verse 31. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless the reading of the word. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. 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 Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. And I certainly do appreciate that prayer. Amen. And the text that I read to you, as I said, I'm sure is very familiar to you. We've heard the story all of our life. Everybody's heard about Peter walking on the water. Now, it's interesting to me that this account is found nowhere else in our Bible. Matthew mentions it, but Mark doesn't. Neither does Luke, neither does John. I think three of them, the Synoptic Gospels, mention Jesus walking on the water. Mentions the storm. But they don't mention Peter walking on the water. Only Matthew, I believe, if I'm correct on that, mentions that. But even though it's only mentioned this one time, it's been mentioned many times. It's been preached about in numerous sermons. It's been taught about in Sunday school classes and along those lines. I want to use it today in my message, and I want to use it, as I said, a little differently. Here's my title. The example of Peter walking on the water. The example of Peter walking on the water. I've heard preachers preach. Matter of fact, Brother Larry Raines preaches this text, and he says Peter was out of the will of God walking on the water. First of all, he says it wasn't a walk of faith. He said, he didn't say, Lord, it's you, I'm coming. He said, Lord, if it be thou. He said, that's not faith, it's doubt. Peter, then he says this. He said, Jesus did say come. Peter got out and walked on the water, but he didn't do a very good job, and he started under. And when Jesus picked him up, here's Brother Raines' statement. He said Jesus didn't put him back on the water. He put him back in the ship where he told him to be in to start with. He constrained his disciples to get in the boat. Well, I've heard that sermon. When he gets done, I say, you know, I think Brother Raines is right. But I don't know if he's right or not. Then I've heard other men talk about, boy, what faith Peter had to get out there and walk on water. I will say this. If there's a water walking crown, I want nobody else to get one. Peter's the only man that ever stepped out there. And be honest with you, he may have doubted if that was the Lord. But when he said, if it be thou come, when Jesus said come, he trusted it was the Lord. And he trusted if he said come, he could come walking on the water. Amen. And so I'm not going to argue with you whether it's in the will of God, out of the will of God, all it. But it interested to me that despite this being, as I said, very familiar story, it's only mentioned this one time. Here's something that's really interesting to me. Peter, we've got several sermons that he preached recorded in the Bible. Not one word did Peter ever mention about him walking on the water. We've got two whole books, epistles that Peter wrote. Not one word did Peter ever mention about him walking on water. Amen. Now, if that'd been me or you or most people we know, every time he got up, he'd say, I'm wearing my water walking tie today. Did you hear the story about me walking on the water? Did I ever tell you? Do you know how many other people? You know, that'd be the kind of way that it'd go. And in the header of his book, the epistle of Peter the Apostle, the first epistle of Peter the Apostle, it'd say, by the man that walked on the water. But we don't find that. He didn't go around bragging about the fact that he walked on the water. Amen. And it is amazing to me that he didn't talk about it incessantly. He didn't talk about it braggadociously. Amen. As more than likely we probably would. Amen. But I would like to take this account and use it in my sermon today. Rather than dissect it verse by verse and preach from it or teach from it as we do a lot of times in expository form, I want to just take it and use it as an illustrative example. Two things. An illustrative example of the Christian life and experience of Peter. And then I believe it is also an illustrative example of the Christian life of you and I. Most of us, I'll at least say, if not all of us as well. So first of all, those two points is all I'm going to deal with this morning, and I'll be done. First of all, an illustrative example of the Christian life and religious experience of Peter. This situation of Peter, well, let's just look at it. Verse number 28 of our text. Let me get back there. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. We see Peter in this case, excuse me, quicker, it seems swifter, at recognizing a truth about Jesus. They're all saying, it's a spirit on the water. And Jesus himself spake unto them, said, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter, quicker than the rest of them, it seems like, grasped the fact, that's not some spirit. That's not even our Lord's projected spiritual form. That's him. He recognized something that the others didn't recognize. And then, as Peter so often does, he starts off with a bold and daring adventure. Amen. And he says, Lord, if it is really you, bid me come out there with you. Amen. Bid me come to thee. And so he said, come. And he went out walking on the water. Amen. As Peter seemed always, or at least most of the time, swifter at grasping the truths of our Lord than others were around him. And his nature was to bravely assert himself forward when he recognized those things. But almost without exception, Peter would suddenly find himself surrounded by waves and attacked or assaulted by the wind. And rather than staying course, he would begin to doubt. and he would begin to sink. He would make a misstep. Look at verse number 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now the wind had been boisterous all that time. Amen. The devil's going to roar against me and you, but the devil's been roaring since Genesis chapter 3. Amen. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, what caused him to begin to sink? We'd say he began to doubt. Because he wasn't standing on the water. He was standing on faith. Amen. He was standing on the Word of God. He was standing on, and by the way, the Word of God wasn't letting him down, but his faith was beginning to waver in that promise. Amen. And so he began to sink. And so, again, we see this quick-witted grasp of Peter grasping the truth, but then bravely asserting himself, but then subsequently making a misstep and beginning to sink. We see it in another chapter. Look over at chapter 16 and verse number 13. The case of Jesus asking for the testimony of who he is. Verse number 13 of Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And you see who recognized it first? Who stepped out of the boat, you might say, amen, took a step on the water, verse number 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. In this account that I just read to you, we see Jesus asking all of his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And then whom do ye? That ye's plural. Who do all of you say I am? Before John answered, or before James answered, or before Thomas or any of the others answered, Peter asserts himself as if to jump out of the boat, amen, as if to step out on the water. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we'd applaud him and say, good job, Peter, you're walking on the water. You're doing pretty good. But it's not too far down. By the way, I'll say that he hit a home run. He got it right. Amen. What he said, so good. Matter of fact, it's so good. Jesus said, this is what I'm going to build my church on. Not on Peter, but on the declaration of who Christ is. Amen. Amen. But look down at verse number 21. He just not too far down the road, Peter faces a wind. He faces waves that he's unprepared to withstand. We find him thrashing around, making a misstep. Look at verse number 21. This is a windy statement. From that time began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem. All right, that's good. Let me stop right there. They've just said, you're the Son of God. He's talking about building his church. But then he starts telling them, I'm going to Jerusalem not to be crowned. Amen. And not to establish and propagate a large church. No, he says he's going into Jerusalem. Look at verse 21. And suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. I mean, that's a windy statement up against what Peter just said. That's some waves that's going to rock his boat, so to speak, as to what he's just said. Look at verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. What's he doing? He's making a misstep. Began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, that this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You see that? Again, this looks to me like this initial example of Peter walking on the water and stepping out on faith, but then making a misstep, beginning to sink, is an example illustrative of his life and religious experience following the Lord. He does it here in chapter number 16. When he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then in just a few minutes, Lord, you're not going to die. No, this is not going to happen to you. He's sinking. Look at chapter number 17, verse number 1. We see it again in the transfiguration on the mount. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. I'm going to stop there just a minute. You know what he did? You see him right there just like he did before. He's recognized something about the Lord that the others hadn't recognized. Peter says, Lord, it's a good thing we're here. Peter is stepping out of a boat. Peter is walking on water. This is a good thing, Lord. But it don't take him long to begin to sink. Let's finish the verse. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. You know what happened? Peter started sinking. Peter started down. God from heaven not only exalted Christ, but rebuked what Peter had said. He said, don't look at Elias. Don't look at Moses. Look at my Son. Amen. Amen. And so again, Peter's enthusiasm and his brashness caused him to rush into trouble, and it caused him to be afraid and begin to sink. Now, one more account of that in the book of Matthew, chapter number 26, if you'll turn there with me. Matthew 26, we know this verse very well, or this text very well as well, and the account that happens. Matthew 26 and verse number 31. This is a long chapter. Let me just read a few verses. Verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, so he's talking to all of them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after that I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. Amen. So I'm going to give him credit for this. They all said that. Every one of them did. But we see Peter in the limelight. Peter again stepping out of the boat to walk on water. He knows who Jesus is, and he loves him. But he's on some shaky ground because he's making a misstep. He's not walking by faith, he's walking by sight. Amen. He's seeing the wind that he doesn't like. He's seeing the waves that's threatening what he thinks is the way it ought to be. And he thinks Jesus should not suffer, and his disciples should not abandon him. By the way, we'd all agree to that. We'd all agree to that. The Son of God should not have had to suffer for you and I, but thank God he did. Amen. Thank God he did it willingly. But even in that, I mean, look at the blame that's on his disciples, that they all forsook him and they all fled. But the bravest of them, no doubt Peter thought he was the bravest, and I don't doubt everybody else there thought he was the bravest. Amen. He probably was the bravest one. You don't see John swiping at people's ears. Amen. Peter probably was the bravest one. Peter said, I'm not, though they all forsake you, though all men forsake thee, I'll not leave thee. You know what happens? Peter jumps overboard and thinks he's going to walk on water. But he realizes in his own strength he can't do it. He cannot do it. He boasts about his willingness and ability to never be offended because of Christ. He boasts about his ability to stand with him even to death. He said, I'll go all the way to death, matter of fact. And by the way, I'm sure he meant every word of it. Amen. I'm sure he thought that he was standing on firm ground when in actuality he's trying to walk on water and he's going to find himself sinking. We know the rest of the story. He does sink. The rest of the story. We find him not too far down the road following, but he's following afar off. I preached on this some time back. He's following afar off. Eventually we find him actually denying the Lord, not once, not twice, but three times. Just like Jesus said, before the cock crew twice the next morning. Amen. That seems to be the experience of Peter over and over again. a statement of faith, a walking, so to speak, on water. I mean, wonderful. But then making a misstep and starting to go down. Here's another case. We find it happening again and again, but if you read the book of Acts and the book of Galatians together, turn with me to Acts chapter 15. I'll just show you these. I could tell you, and I'll tell you more than I'll read you, but Acts and Galatians show us Peter making a statement about the Gentiles. You know that Peter, that God let down that sheet, you remember that, had all those four-footed beasts, unclean animals even. And he said, Peter, arise, slay and eat. Amen. Everybody likes that when it's deer season. They think they hear God saying, arise, slay and eat. Or when it's fishing time. Amen. Arise, slay and eat. God said that to Peter. Peter said, no. I've never eaten anything unclean. God said, don't you call unclean what I've called clean. He did that three times to get his attention. Then he got those men to come in, and it was from Cornelius. They had already been on their way. You know the story. He goes to Cornelius, preaches to Cornelius, and he recognizes there's something amazing, that God puts no difference between the Jew and the Gentile when it comes to salvation. Amen. Amen. God's able to pronounce them clean even though they had previously been unclean. Acts chapter number 15, there's a question arose, and they get these people together to determine how it's going to come out. In Acts 15, there's a council that comes. And verse number 7, the Bible said, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. You know what he said? I'm the one that got out of the boat. I'm the one that got to walk on the water. I mean, he's not saying it, but in reality, illustratively, he's saying God gave me something that none of the others got yet. I was out there where nobody else had gone. Amen. Bravely exploring where no man had ever gone. Amen. I'll start at verse 7 again. When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And look at this, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So Peter, there's a question. Should the Gentiles be circumcised? Should the Gentiles be placed under the covenant of the law? Should the Gentiles come under that law in order to be saved? Peter said, no, God made choice and showed that through me, the preaching of the gospel could go to the Gentiles and they could believe just like the Jews. So Peter's the one that gets to step out there by faith, as we might say, and walk on water. Doing pretty good, pretty good. But something happens. When faced with waves of opposition, go to Galatians chapter number 2. These are the words of Paul reporting what happened. In Galatians chapter number 2, just bear with me, this is the longest point. This point about Peter's experience, because I wanted you to see how it happened over and over in his life. And then we'll see how it happens in ours as well. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So here's what Paul said. Paul said Peter was doing pretty good in Acts chapter number 15 when he stood on the water, when he stood there by faith, and he said there's no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles, but because the opposition of brethren that came from James. By the way, James didn't send those brethren. Those were men that had been in Jerusalem where James was the pastor, and they were Judaizers that were saying to those Galatians, you've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep the law or you can't be saved. And Peter yielded to them, and Peter separated himself from the Gentiles in Galatia, and he sat with those Jews rather than with the Gentiles. And Paul said, I rebuked him to his face. Amen. Now, by the way, here's something real interesting there. Peter and Paul were not enemies the rest of their life. Matter of fact, they weren't even enemies here. Paul recognized the truth that Peter had failed, that Peter didn't see that what he's doing in this case even though he's being good to the brethren, yet he's given a bad impression to those Gentiles that might believe the gospel. Amen. And so Paul rebuked him as he should have. The Bible does say the elders that sin rebuke before all that others may fear. Amen. Why is that? Because other people are watching, and Paul was very careful of that. Amen. Here's my point with that. Peter had stood on the water. Peter had made a few steps and done pretty good. But then Peter makes a misstep. Amen. Because Peter wasn't infallible, and neither are you or I. Sometimes we make a mistake. Amen. Thank God for a brother like Paul that was there to rescue him. Amen. Thank God for a Savior that's walking on the water, standing on the water when Peter could say, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. He recognized he began to sink, and he said, Lord, save me. Thank God Jesus reached down where he was and plucked him out of the water immediately. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't want to be overly severe with Peter. I'm sure he is far ahead of any of us. Amen. Amen. His walk with Christ was nearer and dearer, no doubt, than we were. But I would like to point out the pattern of his life and say that's the example of the life of the Christian experience and religious life of Paul. Of Peter. Let me say number two. It's illustrative example of the Christian life and religious experience of most of us as well. Is it not true that in most of our cases, when we start stepping out on faith, we say step out by faith, however it is, we step out in faith, we begin, as it were, to walk on the water, it's not long till we're assaulted with winds and waves. And it's a lot of times, too many times, it gets our eyes off of the Lord and on our problems. Amen. It gets our eyes off of our should be captivating Savior, and we start looking at the capsizing waves. It's about to knock us off our feet. Amen. We look at the assaulting, contrary winds that's coming against us. Amen. Just when we make a bold assertion that we're going to believe God, we're going to trust God, we're going to step out on faith, we are faced with contrary winds. Amen. I've been listening to a man read some biographies recently, and more be said about this in days ahead, but I'm listening to David Livingston, and it's in a book by Barbara. At Vision, we had that book in the library. I never read it. Wish I had. But there's 17 chapters. I'm starting 16, chapter 16 now. But David Livingston, after going to, he went to South Africa and then up into Africa and did all that exploring, all that stuff, and at his own expense, and cost him his health. He had river fever. Some people, matter of fact, his wife died of river fever in 6 days. David Livingston suffered with it for over 10 years. But he kept right on going. Let me get back to this. When David Livingston came back to England, and of course he's from Scotland, when he came back to England, he was met by the Queen of England, Queen Victoria. When they made his book, they printed his book, he didn't think they'd ever sell his book. You know who wrote an advertisement for his book? Said it was probably the greatest man in England at the time. You know who wrote that? Charles Dickens did. Great author of Tale of Two Cities and, oh, I can't think of all them other, but a bunch of books anyway he wrote. Christmas Carol, all those Charles Dickens. Anyway, I'm talking about Livingston at the peak. He's walking by faith. He goes back. By the way, he speaks to Oxford and to Cambridge, and they get under such a burden, those students get under such a burden, that those two colleges form an Africa evangelism group. Anyway, I don't remember what they called it. And they send missionaries. And so Livingston goes back and he's going up the Zambezi River and he's trying to get over there to where he can find those missionaries that he found out have already come. They got there before he did, got back before he did, and they're already there. And he goes looking for them and he can't find them. And one of his men with him says, come, Mr. Livingston, I found the missionaries. They're graves. They're all dead. Five children. I forget how many adults. One man and his daughter managed to escape. went down to a lower tribe and died of the fever there. Here's what I'm saying. David Livingston, at the moment when he looks like he's a success, buddy, that wind and wave, his wife died, those missionaries died. He felt responsible, by the way. He felt personally responsible because he had, in a sense, convinced them to come and told them. Matter of fact, some of them, he told them, he said, don't wait around. Don't wait for opportunity. He said, charge ahead and make the way. That's the way he talked. He had that pioneering spirit in himself. But how many times you and I, we make a decision. I'm going to go with God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to walk by faith. And just the very minute we think we're walking on water, winds start howling and waves start dashing and trouble comes our way. Amen. And we're forced to face the enemy. I wrote down some examples here. When a young couple sets out to pay tithes. I mean, that's a big thing to start with, by the way. Amen. Especially if you're trying to do it right. If he's trying to work a job and allow her to stay at home. I mean, that's not easily done in our society today. Our society's built on a two-worker. That's the way our society's built. Amen. But when he starts out and they say, I'm not only going to do it God's way, I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to give to missions. Maybe you say, I'm going to give more to missions. I'm going to step out on faith. I'm not going to stay in this boat that everybody says is safe. I'm going to step out. That's my Lord calling. I'm going to Him. I'm going to walk by faith. You know what will happen? Bills will come you never expected. Troubles will arise that you never dreamed. You were unprepared for. Amen. Something will happen that'll be a contrary wind blowing to hinder your progress. Waves will splash up in your face and try their best to stop you and drown your progress from going forward. Here's another example. If you attempt to become a better witness, to tell others about Christ, it seems immediately you'll be faced with winds of adversity, giving you every excuse not to speak up. Now's not a good time. You're not a good speaker. They're not interested. All these things will come up in those contrary winds of adversity will give you every excuse not to speak up. You'll feel waves of opposition threatening to cause you to sink. Amen. Some of those waves will say, everybody's going to think you're an easy believism. Don't be easy believism, but try to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Amen. There'll be all these arguments that'll come up to try to threaten and stop our determination to obey our Lord. By the way, that is Him out there calling us to come out here and say something. Come out here and do something for the glory of God. But the minute we decide to step out by faith, we're going to be faced with contrary winds. Peter's example is an example to all of us, one by one. Amen. Sometimes, and I could give you more and more examples. I won't. I'll quit for time's sake. But sometimes when we step out on faith, getting out of the boat, walking on the water to go to Jesus, just trusting His Word, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves being harassed even in our own mind. Or, how about this, being harassed by the brethren on the boat. It's saying, Peter, don't step out there. I know Jesus said come, but don't, no. Amen. Matter of fact, they might say some preacher down the road is going to preach that you is out of God's will walking on water. Amen. And others are going to say they just don't know. And so there's question, what should you do? I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought to trust the Lord. Amen. They'll tell you how dangerous it is to take a stand in this day. Amen. Amen. Often if we're trying to walk by faith and walk to the Lord, even our fellow disciples who ought to be giving us encouragement might be trying to dissuade our decision. Amen. In conclusion, let me get back to my text in Matthew 14. Let me get back there. I read verse 30. I stopped with verse 30. I did read through 31 in my initial reading, but then when I was showing you Peter's example, I stopped with verse 30. Let me do it again and pick up 31 as I go. But when he, that's Peter, saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Amen. Just as Jesus was faithful to reach out and rescue Peter, though he was discouraged and dissatisfied that Peter had doubted, yet he reached out faithfully and rescued Peter. I'm going to tell you this. In my case, your case, when the winds and the waves are against us, if we're trying to walk by faith and go to our Lord, we can trust Him to reach out and rescue us. He'll be nearby. Amen. He'll be nearby. While the lion's roaring, He'll be close by. Amen. 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 Let me tell you one more story about David Livingston. It said in one case, when he's exploring out through there, in one case, a hippopotamus charged him. He's out there alone, and a hippopotamus charged him. And by the way, he said there's almost no way to get around them, to get away from them when they're in a charge mode. That hippo charged to him, came within so many feet, and stopped as if it was hit a rock wall, is the way it said it. Unexpectedly stopped as if it had hit an invisible wall, and turned and walked to the river away from him. You say, what's that mean? I believe Jesus was with him. That's what he wrote in his diary, by the way. He said it was God that did that. Amen. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that no harm will ever come to you. Amen. He buried wife and children there, and eventually his heart was buried in Africa himself. I'm not saying no harm will ever come to you, but I'm saying if you're going to walk by faith, expect some troubles, but you can also expect a very present help in time of need. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. We sang that song last, right before I preached. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. I'm glad He's our friend when we're walking with Him, when we're serving Him. He'll be there to help us if we'll call on Him. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You for the life experience of Peter. And we see it played out in our own life so often. So many times. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to trust You by faith. Help us to keep on keeping on for Your glory and honor. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come pray, if you're not saved, today'd be a good day to get saved. If you are saved, the Lord's calling you. He's saying, come. Would you come to Him while we sing?